That it is that in affirmative or in denial of what you've heard this evening, excuse me, affirmative, the Lord's will. I get mixed up, seems like Brother Bonner rubs off on him. He doesn't know whether he's in the affirmative or the negative. But I am in the affirmative tonight, and that's what I'm going to try to do. Now, of course, you know, when you go chasing things around and throwing out all these legs and building yourself straw men, you can take up a lot of extra time. That's exactly what's happened so far. But I'm going to go along, and I'm going to talk about a couple of things before I get back to the rest of my affirmative. Now, Brother Bonner sounds to me like the fellow lost $10 on the ball game and lost 10 more on the replay. Because what he gave us last night is the same thing we've heard tonight. It's the same thing we've heard tonight. Now, that's the way it's been. We've not heard anything in the way of affirmative last night and no denial tonight. And I'd like to point out that that's exactly the case. For instance, you know, he keeps bringing this up, and I want his chart. Maybe will you help me get this chart up here right quick? Go ahead and get his chart up number two, the one we've been talking about. And for the benefit of you people who weren't here, last night, Brother Bonner gets up here righteously indignant against the quote Hedges rules and such things as that, and I'm not accused of him of being dishonest. I say that this lets me begin to wonder. You see, if it doesn't make you begin to wonder, here's what we're talking about now in case you don't know. Start off with chart number three, Don. I'm not going to need all the rest of it. Here's what was under consideration. He says what the cup can make, and he defines the cup in eight different ways, which I said last night. These other definitions, which we're not concerned about, they are right. As far as I know, I didn't go check them, but I'm not debating him on those things. Now, when you get out here to number four, he defines cup as drinking vessel, and it gives Mark 7, verse 4 and 8. That is correct. A cup is a drinking vessel in Mark 7, verse 4 and 8. And then he comes on down here to definition number 8, and it says fruit of the vine, always in the Lord's Supper. Now, folks, that is not the case. The definition which he gives up here there, page 533, will not bear that out. It's something which indicates, at least it causes me to wonder, why is it that he could have got the right definition right here where he got Mark 7, verses 4 and 8? Because at the very same place, it gives Mark 4, verse 7 and 8. It gives all these other verses. Excuse me, Mark 7, verse 4 and 8. It gives all these other verses. At the very same place. Now, he can get righteous and indignant if he wants to. But that's all blow. Because I find out that there's, as far as the Thayer's is concerned, I want to read it to you. Now, Thayer says, and it says just exactly what I told you it did, under poterion. Now, it does give the definition first. That doesn't mean anything. It gives the definition first. A cup, a drinking vessel. And it says, A, properly. Now, properly means literally. And then the very first three definitions it gives Matthew 23, verse 25, Matthew 26, verse 27, Mark, this verse right here, 7, 4, and 8, and then it gives Mark 14, verse 23. And it gives it as literally or properly. And then it goes on down in the definition, and it says it is used in other places by metonymy. Now, folks, that's exactly what I've said. The number four, Don, I told you wrong. That's exactly what I've said, and he has not shown that yet. Now, I don't know what you call that. You draw your own conclusions. But here he's got a chart up here that says it always means fruit of the vine, and it gives the impression Thayer defines it that way, and that's not so. And I gave him an opportunity to redeem himself. I told him that if he would produce one Mexican, which translated it, he took the cup. Now, that's what I want to know about. Mark 14, verse 23, Matthew 26, verse 27, one lexicon that rendered cup, and he took the cup as the fruit of the vine, he could redeem himself. He's not done it yet. Now, you can swell up if you want to, but that's the bare facts. That's the way that it is. And that's something which he can't deny. I've given him every opportunity in the world. He's had three speeches now to do it. And he's not done it. The reason he hasn't done it is because he can't give them. That's why. Now, you get up here and wave Thayer's around again if you want to, but the evidence is the same. Thayer says on Mark 14, 23 and Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup, is a container, a literal container. That's all there is to it. That's the way that it is. I'm not accusing him of anything, but I wonder why he does that. Why did he do that? Well, he goes on, he talked about Paul O. Nichols. Now, I hope he realizes he's not debating Paul O. Nichols. Now, I saw Paul O. Nichols' name on these charts a couple of times, and I believe if he'd erase it instead of just marking through it, he might forget about Paul O. Nichols. But he's not debating Paul O. Nichols, and I'm really surprised he brought that debate up because I listened to it quite a little while, and if I'd have been him, I'd have never mentioned that again. But the fact of the matter remains, he's not debating Paul O. Nichols or everyone else, like you said. He's supposed to be dealing with what we have here tonight. And I find that that's what I expected him to do. Now then, we talk about this spring water and this canteen. Now this is interesting. He says he's got a spring over there in that canteen. Now that's something which we need to look at. Is a spring a drinking vessel? No. Is a spring the water? No. The spring is the source. It's the same thing with a well. Is a well a drinking vessel? No. Is a well a water? No. A well is a source. Now, if he doesn't know any difference in that canteen or Rocky Mountain spring, he may be catching trout out of that thing. We understand things differently than that. We know that this is not a spring, that that's a source. Then he built himself a bunch of straw men. Now, you know, that's one of the things that you can do. If you can't handle what you got, you invent you some more. And he come up with a whole long list of questions, and he begin to ask me all these questions. Now, I'm in the affirmative, you see. He's supposed to be following me. He couldn't answer my questions, so he wrote himself some he could answer. But that's all that amounted to. And then he goes off, licking his wounds from last night. You know, we're supposed to be doing what is before us tonight. If he keeps picking up on last night, he'll be here Saturday night when we're all gone. He's running a day behind. You're supposed to be following me tonight. And I find that that's what he has failed to do. He says, I'm consistent. I affirm. That's the way he's consistent. He consistently tells you what he believes is truth, but he gives you no scripture for it. He is consistently wrong. That's all that amounts to. Now, I'd like to have my chart number 3, and this is a really interesting chart. He said, you know, of course, gives the definition of proper, or literal, and he read this verse, and he looked at it like this, and he went, they don't work for me, it's still there. He waves his hand over it like it's going to go away. It doesn't go away, and here's what you didn't read. You read the others. You didn't read this one. He says, Luke 22:20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying this cup is the New Testament blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 11:25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying this cup is the New Testament blood. Robinson, page 611, a drinking vessel, a cup. Strong, page 59, a drinking vessel. Thayer, page 533, a cup, a drinking vessel. Thayer, page 15, a cup containing wine. Thayer, page 533, diatomy. Why did you read that? Don't you know Thayer gives different definitions? That's why we have Greek lexicons. Certain divine words where they're used in different places with a definition that is proper for that place. He says Thayer, by metonymy, of the container for the contained. And you see, there is a difference. And Thayer points it out. He didn't read that. He wanted to act like that it's always defined as proper, literally. Waves his hand over it like it's going to go away. Let me have chart number 12. This is where he's at now. We find out that as a result of this, we might sum it all up. And here's where Brother Bonner stands right now. Brother Bonner stands in opposition to the scholarship of the world. The scholarship of the world renders these verses, these right here. Robinson, Strong, Thayer, Vine, and Young, a drinking vessel, cup, the thing out of which one drinks. Bonner says, always fruit of the vine. He's against the scholarship of the world. Brother Bonner says, you can divide a cup. Jesus said, Luke 22:20, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Bonner says, you can't do that, of course. The Lord didn't know what he's talking about. Bonner says, you don't bless a drinking vessel. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless. Paul says you do. Brother Bonner says, you don't drink out of the cup. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11:28, drink nothing out of that cup. Brother Bonner stands against the scholarship of the world, against Jesus Christ, and against the Apostle Paul. That's where he's at. Well, he finally found some cups. And he found his cups before the Catholic Church.
Although the Bible says that the mystery of iniquity was already working, he found it before he says.
200 AD. Got them 200 AD. A plurality of cups. 200 AD. That's too late.
Found him in 200 AD. I'm glad he finally found him, son. 200 AD. What about 33 AD? Jesus took the cup and turned it into grape juice. He blessed it. He gave it to them and they drank of it. That's what they did in 33 AD. But he found him, son.
200 AD.
I hope y'all noticed, because I certainly did.
He didn't even remember my little demonstration.
He forgot all about that. He called my cup here a vase, you know. But now I don't know what that looks like to y'all. That looks just like a cup to me. And I believe that that is the cup of the Lord when it contains grape juice as it does now, and it's sanctified by prayer. I believe that this is what we can observe the Lord's Supper with and do it scripturally.
That's what this is.
Don't forget this, my father. You're supposed to follow me, remember. Each and every one, you're going to follow me on everything. You're going to show just exactly where I'm wrong. I have demonstrated my practice. I read charts 1, 2, and 3.
You use this and you demonstrate yours with chart 1, 2, and 3.
Now, if you can do that,
maybe you're more scriptural than I thought.
He forgot about my demonstration. All right, now then, Don, I'm ready to get on this meeting. We're going to start now with the chart. Let's start with the idea of Bible authority. You know, we went all through this. I don't see that there's any need to go through these charts 1, 2, and 3 again, because it doesn't seem like that's sinking in on Brother Bonner. And I believe you folks out in the audience understand that when Jesus took the cup, he took a literal container. He could not have taken it in any other way and still call it the cup. So let's begin, and let me show you once again the fact that Jesus made this a command. We'll just summarize this idea. And notice the fact that this is something, this is the way that we establish Bible authority. Let me begin with chart D. Here we find that Jesus gave us the command. The command is how we're supposed to put into practice the Lord's will. He says, Christ commanded the disciples to drink of what cup? He took the cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to say, drank ye all of it. That cup was a container containing fruit of the vine, as we pointed out from time to time. The disciples understood the command, and they all drank of it. Mark 14, verse 23. Paul commands us to keep the communion as he delivered it. Now I praise you, brethren, to remember in all things to keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you after the same manner which he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament blood. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through verse 28. The idea is the command was given to take the cup. And we find that's exactly what we do when we obey that command. Chart E, Don, let's talk about example. I find that we pointed out that there is an example. An example is a pattern, or it is something can be used as a model. It is serves to illustrate a rule. That pattern is laid down to us by Jesus Christ when he took the cup. And I find that the pattern is exemplified when he tells us how he did it. Chart E, too. Now, we find that Jesus serves as a suitable role model. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. He took the cup. Take with a hand. Page 8, the 73rd. How did he do that if there was no container? How did he do that?
You know, he nearly gave that up a while ago. Y'all remember that?
He nearly said, well, you know, you've got to have something.
Now, that's true. You've got to have something. And if you're going to have something to be right, what are you going to have?
Cup is what you're going to have. You got to have something. He said that, or to that effect. So if you got to have something,
I have a cup, you see, because that's something the Lord talks about.
He took the cup, a drinking vessel, a cup. He gave the cup, gave, reached out, extended, presented, page 145. How'd he do that? Had to have something, didn't he? If he had something, what do you reckon he had? No, he had a cup. That's what he had. I find that that's the example which Jesus gives us. The next chart. We find that this example is something by itself that is binding. As we pointed out a few minutes ago, when the example is given for us to sell it upon the first day of the week in Acts 20, verse 7, we said that's an exclusive example. By the same token, we have the example. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. I declare that's an exclusive example. Unless Brother Bonner could show me some verse in the Bible where they did something else, that one is exclusive. All right. by necessary inference. We also went into this idea of metonymy, the fact that if you have a metonymy, the container of the contained, the contents are suggested by the naming the container. Example, the kettle is boiling. He goes on, we pointed out, when an object is used metonymy, the object name is not the thing suggested. Example, cup is not the contents, kettle is not the water. In metonymy, the container for the contents, when a liquid contents is suggested, the container name must be present. So by necessary inference, to direct the cup must be there. For the kettle to boil, there must be a kettle. That's, as you said, easy for us to understand if a person doesn't try to evade that issue. In chart G, we find here again a summary. We can teach or establish Bible authority by express command. He took the cup. Approved example. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. Necessary efforts. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, that proves by command, by example, by necessary inference, Jesus took the cup, the container containing fruit of the vine. Now, that's our position, and that proves my proposition. We went on to point out some perfect parallels as we referred to these. Chart number 11, dot. I thought it was interesting how he dealt with these. Did y'all remember that? He just looked up here and waved over these. Well, you know that doesn't make it go away. There are three parallels. This bread is my body, which is given for you. Luke 22:19. This fruit of the vine is my blood, the New Testament which is shed for me. Mark 14:24. This cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22:20. The next chart. Here they are, diagram, and as we said, these are grammatically constructed in the same way. All three sentences have exactly the same elements. Those elements are is, which is a copulative, as we said, a word which connects, and in this case it means resembles.
Now what's that?
This bread is, or is an example of, resembles my body.
You know, we have one loaf on the Lord's table, and that one loaf is to us the body of Christ.
He says, this fruit of the vine represents, is,
my blood. We have literal fruit of the vine. It represents the blood of Christ.
This cup is,
literal cup represents the New Testament.
Now in each case, we take literal bread, we give it spiritual significance. They're still different though, but the fact that you gave bread spiritual significance does not change the fact that it's literal. By the same token, we take the fruit of the vine, it's literal. It is, or it represents the blood of Christ. The fact that it's given spiritual significance does not change its nature. It's still literal fruit of the vine. The cup is the New Testament. The fact that we take the cup and give it spiritual significance does not change the composition of the cup. It's still a literal cup.
And he... I want you to talk about that now.
Those sentences are grammatically constructed the same. If Jesus didn't take the cup, I want to know what he took.
You know, that brings me to the next idea. And I'd like to notice just for a minute his questions, Don, that we had last night. I gave him some questions, and these questions, I noticed something about them last evening, but you know, that ties in really well, right? Hey,
I asked him, did Jesus use one cup drink the best of the Lord's Supper? He says he doesn't know. He didn't know. Now, of course, we've showed you what Jesus did, so he knows now. But I asked him, would a congregation of Christians be a good deal for using one cup, drink a vessel, distribute the fruit of the vine, the Lord's Supper? Now he says, no, not unless they teach that everybody else is wrong, something that effect. I better read that right, you get some. Out of shape, yes. No, it says, if they do not teach false doctrine. Now, in other words, the practice is not under question. It is whether or not I teach it and condemn him, you see. That's the problem that bothers him. So the practice is all right. And then I ask him, must we observe the Lord's Supper as Jesus instituted it? Yes, he says, as far as his example goes. For example, he did not institute it on the first day of the week like we are supposed to have it, Acts 27. Now here's what I've discovered. He has proved my proposition. He proved it for me. He said he didn't know how the Lord did it. So well, that's out. But he says you can do it with one cup. That's all right. And he said, we have to do it like Jesus did, so Jesus must have done it with one cup.
Now that's the way that looks to you?
If we have to do it like the Lord did, and it's all right to use one, that must have been the way the Lord did it.
Because that's all right.
Y'all think about that. He's proved this for me.
That makes it a lot easier.
Chart H1. The cup is the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. This cup is the New Testament in our blood. As we said, there are three spiritual emblems of spiritual significance in the Lord's Supper. The cup has spiritual significance as well as the bread and the fruit of the vine. Notice this little idea right here. A thing is not an incidental if it has spiritual significance. He took bread, gave thanks, said, "This is my body," verse 23 and 24. He took the cup, singular, and said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood," verse 25. Cup, a drinking vessel, 1 Corinthians 11, 25. In the first instance, or properly, literally, there's Greek lexicon. Now what did he do? He gave spiritual significance to the bread. He gave spiritual significance to the cup. Look on. Fruit of the vine is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Mark 14, 24. The metaphor is implied comparison. Example, she is a beautiful flower. The likeness is given in the form of a statement. What happens? It illustrates that we can point out up here that this is not an incident. This is not something just happened. It is an article of spiritual significance. H2. We find out that this spiritual significance in H3 will be next on. There are certain things we're supposed to remember. There are three events that the crucifixion brought about for our benefit. Jesus Christ was killed. His body was sacrificed. That was significant. This was our Passover sacrifice, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. His blood was shed. That's significant. This ratified the covenant, obtained remission of sins, Hebrews 9, verse 18, Hebrews 9, verse 22. The new covenant was ratified. Significance, this fulfilled the old covenant, Luke 23, 45, and gave us a better covenant, established on better promises, Hebrews 8, verse 6. In other words, here's what we're supposed to remember. We remember the fact that his body was sacrificed, his blood was shed, and the covenant was ratified. Next chart. When we look at the Lord's table, that's exactly what we see. We see the loaf, which points back to the cross, and it recognizes, or we recognize, the body which was sacrificed. We look at the fruit of the vine, an emblem of the blood of the shed. We look at the chalice, or the cup, an emblem of the covenant which is ratified. See, there are three things necessary for us to remember. And these three things, if we're doing it according to the Lord's will, we have to look at it like this. We have the loaf, which is his body. We have the cup, which is the new covenant. We have the fruit of the vine, which is his blood. You know, I said, this is doing remembrance of me. This is a memorial, brethren. You know, the American flag is a memorial. It has 50 stars in it. Now, those 50 stars represent the 50 states. It wouldn't mean a thing to us if it had 49 stars in it. Wouldn't mean a thing if it had 51. But since it has 50, it is a memorial. The same thing is true when I look at the Lord's table. One loaf, that is the one body of Christ. One cup, which represents the one covenant. The fruit of the vine, which ratified that covenant. If you add to or take from those items, you've destroyed supper. The memorial is no longer there. Let's look at it another way. Let's do a little fill in the blanks. How much time, Carl?
6 minutes, 30 seconds.
Let's skip that long. I believe I'm going to skip on over here. I don't want to run out of time before I get to this next one. Let's go to chart J1. I want to show Brother Bonner his roots. I want to show him where this came from. You know, this is probably the saddest part of this debate. Now, Brother Bonner, I'm talking about individual cups now. I'm not talking about hunting 200 years A.D. for a plurality. I'm talking about individual. Now remember that, because you jump up here and holler, he's talking about plurality. I'm not talking about plurality. I'm talking about individual, which is your practice. Here's where they all came from. Here's a letter, which is written to Brother E.H. Miller from the Thomas Communion Service, Lima, Ohio, April 22, 1950. It says, "Your letter of April 17, 1950 has been received, as we are pleased to inform you that the writer's grandfather, J.G. Thomas, was a physician and a minister, invented the first individual communion outfits. The first packets were issued to him in 1894. The Market Street Presbyterian Church of Lima, Ohio, was believed to be the first church to use individual communion cups in a communion service. This also occurred in 1894. What is believed to be the origin of the original individual communion service used by this church is on display in the Allen County Historical Museum in Lima, Ohio. Under separate cover, we're making shipment of an old-style pewter communion cup." And what was new and old? Even in Presbyterians knew that. They knew the old cup was old. And
They knew this new individual set was new.
You can't patent nothing's old anyway.
Your fat stuff's new.
That's where it started. A doctor like Brother Bonner. If you had to have a cup, you wanted a big cup with a big lip with a space marked on it. That's what started it. Nobody ever thought of calling the cup the fruit of the vine until they got to the point they didn't want to do what the Lord told them to because they got scared of germs. That's what happened. And that's exactly what happened. Chart J3. I find in spite of this, it's never been proven, and I'm not going to read it for you because I don't have time. It has never been proven that one container was unsanitary. It is against logic as far as the Bible is concerned. God did not place something in the center of his church out there to spread disease. That's not even in the realm of possibility. 40 years on the firing line, G.C. Brewer, copyrighted 1948, page 12 and 13, introduction. I think I was the first, which one? The first preacher to advocate the use of individual communion cups in the first church in the state of Tennessee that adopted it was the church for which I was preaching, the Central Church of Christ in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I then meeting in the Masonic Temple. My next work was in the Church of Columbia, Tennessee, and after a long struggle, I got the individual communion service in that congregation. It was fought both privately and publicly, and still is, and several brethren took me to task in religious papers and called me digressive. Brother Smith came to my rescue, and in the year 1915, Brother David Lipscomb wrote a short paragraph in the Gospel Advocate saying he changed his view in reference to the communion cup, that he did not believe it was any way digressive. There's your roots. That's where you came from, right there. You can't go back any farther than right there, 1915. Now, that is talking about individual cups. How much time?
3 minutes.
I find that this is where they all came from. Brother Brewer,
wouldn't you hate to have that chisel on the tombstone? Brethren, you folks that are members of the congregation that believe like Brother Bonner, you know, I have people tell me all the time, K next on. I don't know what Jesus Brewer did. You know, I don't have anything to do with me. Brother does. If you don't know what G.C. Brewer did, he introduced the individual cups in the Church of Christ, speaking wide open. There are some of us that are still defending the truth. Brother Brewer, back at the Lord's Church, he's the one who caused the split. You know, Brother Campbell said one time, and I'm going to sort of paraphrase this, it wasn't he that obeyed the first commandment that raped havoc in Israel. It was he that built the golden calf. And your golden calf is right there. That's it. Chart K. You don't have to take a chance. You don't have to take a chance. You can sing. We've got the command example for that. That's scriptural. We know that's right. Instrumental music, there's no scripture for that. That's a doctrine of faith. One cup, we got scripture for that. Matthew 26, verse 27, Mark 14, verse 20. That's scriptural, brethren. Individual cups, there's no scripture for that. Not a single one. He has not given a single one. He's not given an inference, a command, an example, and he won't. Because he doesn't have one. You see, that's not scriptural. That came about, and Mr. Thomas claims it originally, and then Brother Brewer says, I was the first. Shame, shame. When we're talking about undivided assembly in the Bible classes beginning Thursday night, here again, we've got example and commandment for an undivided assembly to teach the Lord's will. There's no scripture. But this other business we're going to be talking about. See, you don't have to take a chance. Why would anybody with an everlasting soul that's going to face an eternity, why would they take a chance on something? Why would you hope what you're doing is all right?
1 minute.
Why would you hope that what some man invented was going to get you back when you know you can do what's right? See, that's the whole point. Regardless of what else has been said, regardless of wherever else we are, there's a way that's right and cannot be wrong. You don't have to take any chance on that. That way, of course, is the way that we've outlined in the Lord's Supper. One cup, right here, containing grape juice. Blessed by prayer is the cup of the living. I thank you very much for being kind listeners. I'd like to thank these brother here, Francis, for being so hospitable. You folks have been good to us, and I appreciate this opportunity to defend the truth. I'm going to turn the speaker stand over to Brother Bonner, and I would ask him to please to cover these things, talk about the illustration and some of those things we pointed out.